Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Theresa May pushes ahead as opposition to her Brexit deal mounts.
Chipmakers come under pressure after a disappointing forecast from NVIDIA.
And two of the biggest U.S. banks get pulled into a massive money laundering scandal.
It's down to a hand recount in the hotly contested Florida U.S. Senate race, plus at least 63 are now dead, with hundreds missing from Northern California wildfire. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Isles get a hat trick and bragging rights. Packers, Seahawks, always a classic, and throwback Thursday in the Big East.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is a mixed picture for global equities this morning. Stocks in Europe are gaining, while U.S. stock index futures are lower. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points, Dow futures down 87, and NASDAQ futures down 76. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%, the CAC in Paris is up about 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 is little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.6%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.11%, yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or $1.15 to $57.61 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.17.10 an ounce. The euro $1.1329 and the yen 113.27. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest out of the UK, where Theresa May is fighting to stay on as prime minister as opposition to her Brexit deal mounts. Joining us live from London with the very latest, Bloomberg's Naira Chay Hitch. Good morning, Naira.
Good morning, Nathan, Karen. Yes, what we're watching for today and over the weekend mainly is whether we could see any more resignations of ministers. Of course, we saw four yesterday, including Brexit Minister Dominic Raab, which came as quite a big surprise to the markets. The latest that we're hearing is that pro-Brexit ministers are staying put. Pro-Brexit Environment Secretary Michael Gove is not resigning, according to a person familiar with the situation. He is the minister whose resignation will be most destabilizing to May. Then there are also reports that other pro-Brexit ministers are staying for now. So that's the resignation question in part answered. The second question then is whether there could be enough letters sent in by the 1922 committee to trigger a no-confidence vote in the prime minister. Conservative whips are convening in Westminster, but a person familiar says it's not a sign that the threshold for a leadership bid has been reached. Of course, questions whether any of that could happen next week, and beyond that, whether the Brexit deal will pass a vote in Parliament. But that, at the moment, is a question for another week with this political crisis. Naira Chay Hitch, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, Naira, thank you. So will she stay or will she go? Panmure Gordon chief economist Simon French is betting she'll stay.
I think she will. That doesn't say she won't face a vote of no confidence, but I think she potentially wins that vote of no confidence. So our base case is that a withdrawal deal gets eventually done. It will be a very painful process, but one of the things that does strengthen what is a very weak outlook at the moment is if she faces a confidence vote and wins it, because of course that effectively becomes a strengthened mandate.
If May is forced out, the UK would be 4 months away from leaving the EU without an agreement.
Now, the pound is stronger this morning after yesterday's 1.7% slump. It has been a volatile week for sterling. Bloomberg FX strategist David Finnerty expects that to continue heading into the weekend.
You've got 2 days where you can't trade it. A lot of stuff can happen, and then the market will suddenly open Monday, and obviously it could gap open quite lower or quite higher. With that in mind, a lot of people go, look, I have to hedge myself. The option volatility will be bid up come Monday, no matter what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if the option volatility just decreases slightly, purely because that event risk of the weekend is taken out, because there's obviously a lot of uncertainty lying ahead.
And checking the pound now, we are seeing some strengthening. It's trading at $1.2812.
The semiconductor industry is coming under pressure this morning. Forecasts from NVIDIA and Applied Materials are adding to signs that demand for computer chips is waning. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Tim Culpin has more.
NVIDIA pointed to excess inventory in the channel. So there's a glut. And so this is yet another indication that the electronics industry and the tech industry is facing troubles because of the macro economy. You know, when NVIDIA comes out and says that, there's contagion through the rest of the industry because it's yet another sign that things are not as hot as they used to be.
The lingering loss of chip demand for mining cryptocurrencies also weighed on NVIDIA's results. Shares are down 16% in early trading.
And that report from NVIDIA weighed on chip makers in Asia today, sending tech stocks in Japan and Taiwan lower. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, SoftBank, whose Vision Fund owns a stake in NVIDIA, and Taiwan Semiconductor were among the biggest drags. A weaker yen helped drag down Japanese equities further, the topics closing down 0.6%. Elsewhere, Chinese education stocks fell following a regulatory clampdown. However, real estate and energy stocks performed well and the CSI closed higher by 0.5%. In Hong Kong, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Bank of America, J.P. Morgan and Deutsche Bank are being pulled into one of the biggest money laundering investigations in history. Sources tell Bloomberg Deutsche Bank and B of A have been contacted by U.S. investigators about transactions related to a Danske Bank branch in Estonia. The Justice Department has also asked questions about J.P. Morgan's work with the branch, which is the focus of multiple international investigations.
And Boeing's facing legal pressure as well. The plane maker's been hit with the first U.S. lawsuit over the Lion Air crash near Indonesia that killed 189 passengers. The father of a man who died in that disaster filed the lawsuit against Boeing, claiming the company's new flight control system caused the crash.
We're getting a clearer picture of the legal troubles Tesla could face from Elon Musk's tweet about taking the company private. Lawyers for shareholders say the CEO's tweet did damage to so many different kinds of investors that Musk should face as many as three separate lawsuits. A judge is deciding whether to divide the suits into categories because there are complaints from both long and short investors.
And shares of PG&E are surging this morning. That's after the head of California's Public Utilities Commission said he's unlikely to let the utility go into bankruptcy. Shares have plummeted more than 60% in the wake of California's wildfires, and now shares of PG&E are up 30% in early trading. Futures contracts pointed lower, with S&P futures down 15 points, Dow futures down 109, NASDAQ futures down 83. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr joins us now to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. For the New York area, it was a commuting nightmare trying to get home last night because of the snow. It came down hard and fast and left people stranded on the roads and at the Port Authority. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has more on what happened and what to expect today.
Michael, yesterday's storm system, well, the cold was able to overpower the warm, moist air trying to come in off the Atlantic. And by the time we saw the influence of the Atlantic kick in, the heaviest precipitation lifted out of the region. A lot of anywhere from 4 to 6 inch totals across the tri-state area, with a little bit more up across Orange and Putnam counties. There it was 7 or 8 inches of snowfall, and the timing couldn't have been any worse. All those roads locking up with the warm pavement, the snow on top of it, and then the cold temperatures. We'll see a few rain or snow showers this morning, but improving weather into the weekend. Michael?
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority is facing a looming budget crisis. According to the New York Times, MTA officials say it could lead to major fare increases or cuts to subway and bus service. The death toll for now is 63, but hundreds are missing from a wildfire in Northern California. Paradise, a town of about 27,000, literally went up in smoke in the deadliest, most destructive wildfire in the state's history. The list of the missing spiked from about 130 to 631. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey says the list probably includes some people who fled the flames and did not realize they'd been reported missing.
You have to understand, folks, this is a dynamic list, right? Some days there might be more people. Some days there might be less people, but ultimately, when we're through this process, my sincere hope is that we have accounted for everybody.
President Trump is planning a trip to California tomorrow to survey the damage. Florida's bitter U.S. Senate contest is headed to a legally required hand recount after an initial review by ballot counting machines showed Republican Governor Rick Scott and Democratic Senator Bill Nelson separated by less than 13,000 votes. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Islanders continue to top the Rangers, not only in the standings, but on the ice.
Feeds it for Boychuk. He winds, he shoots, they score! It's a hat trick for Anthony Beauvillier on the perfect tip in front, and the Islanders grab back the lead.
Isles TV, the Islanders beat the Rangers 7-5 at Barclays Center. Anthony Beauvillier had one goal all year before notching a hat trick on Thursday. Thomas Greiss, 36 saves for the Islanders, now 2 points ahead of the Rangers. Devils blank the Flyers 3-0 in Philadelphia thanks to 29 saves by Keith Kincaid. Joey Anderson notched his first career goal. NFL, two evenly matched teams fighting for their playoff lives in Seattle. Seahawks Packers kicked off week 11. Seattle knocked off Green Bay.
Wilson with two on the play clock has Dixon middle of the field toward the end zone. Touchdown Seattle! A 15-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson to Ed Dixon.
27-24. Westwood won on the call. Seahawks QB Russell Wilson beat Aaron Rodgers once again on the scoreboard, despite Rodgers having a better QBR. Seahawks improved to 5-5. Packers fall to 4-5-1. Major League Baseball passed out some hardware. Red Sox Mookie Betts, the AL MVP. Christian Yelich of Milwaukee wins the National League MVP. And college hoops, 15th-ranked Syracuse taken down by former Big East foe UConn, 83-76, thanks to a dozen three-pointers. The Orange not the only ranked team to lose, as Oregon fell to Iowa. Ranked teams, Purdue, TCU, Virginia Tech, and Gonzaga, all winners. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thanks very much. Want to remind you to tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll speak with the man behind sports at one of the most historic universities in America. Jack Swarbrick, director of athletics at the University of Notre Dame, joins us. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Download the show if you want to. Listen to it anytime you like. It is an Apple podcast on iTunes. Futures contracts pointing to a lower open on Wall Street on this Friday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. Theresa May is battling on. The UK Prime Minister says all Tory lawmakers will be ordered to vote for her Brexit deal. Questions still remain about whether rebel MPs can muster enough support to challenge her. Chip makers sold off in Asia, wiping out at least $11 billion in market value. The slump comes as weak forecasts from NVIDIA and Applied Materials add to signs that demand for servers, PCs, and phones is falling. Shares of PG&E are soaring in early trading after the head of California's Public Utilities Commission said he's unlikely to let the utility go into bankruptcy. Even with the gains, PG&E shares have lost half their value since the fires broke out in California. And Bank of America, JP Morgan, and Deutsche Bank may be swept into Danske Bank's money laundering scandal. Sources tell Bloomberg the DOJ is probing work the banks handled with Danske's branch in Estonia. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 109. NASDAQ futures down 85. The DAX in Germany is little change now, up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 1/32, yield 3.11%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Fire officials in Northern California say the list of 631 people missing in the nation's deadliest wildfire in a century probably includes people who fled the blaze and did not realize they had been reported missing. Meanwhile, 63 people have been confirmed dead.
About 52,000 are displaced in shelters, motels, and the homes of friends and relatives. Ballots in Florida's tight U.S. Senate race will be tallied by hand after a machine recount narrowly expanded Republican Rick Scott's lead, but not by enough to end incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson's fight to retain a seat. Scott leads Nelson by 12,562 votes. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 7-5. The Devils also won. In NBA action, the Warriors lost. Thursday night football, the Seahawks beat the Packers 27-24. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib. to learn more. As we continue to follow the wave of headlines generated by the Brexit saga, Therese Raphael, Bloomberg Opinion columnist, joins us. And I guess, Therese, we'll start with the latest red headline that crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Gove stays. Well, what would the damage have been if the environment secretary had decided to join all the others and leave May's cabinet?
So that was a significant piece of news. We all woke up in the London morning on big-time resignation watch. There are five cabinet ministers who were rumored to be considering resignation overnight. But the most significant is Environment Secretary Michael Gove. He was a leading figure in the Leave campaign during the 2016 referendum. If he had left May's cabinet after the string of resignations yesterday, it would have been really hard to imagine her staying on, because it would have triggered several other resignations. Gove was apparently offered the job of Brexit Secretary, which is now vacant after May lost her second Brexit secretary yesterday, Dominic Raab, but he turned it down. He wanted to renegotiate the treaty. May said, or not the treaty, the agreement with Brussels. May said, we can't do that. He's staying on as environmental secretary. So, you know, Nathan, is it a temporary reprieve? Is it a stay of execution? Is it a turning point? Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I mean, because we do still have all those letters of no confidence that have gone into the 1922 committee, and we're hearing reports now that they've reached the threshold that could trigger the process that could eventually lead to May's ouster. Where do you see this going?
Well, those reports have been around for a very long time. We're constantly getting, you know, flashes saying they've got the 48 letters. It's, you know, a no confidence vote is imminent. I'd say they're more credible now than they have been in the past. Jacob Rees-Mogg, another leading figure, hardline Brexiter, stood up in the House of Commons during this extraordinary sort of three-hour session yesterday in which May defended her agreement. And he said, you know, should I turn in my letter? And he subsequently did. And that was a big drama. So, you know, her job is still on the line. There's no question about it. But she's fighting back. She was on London radio this morning taking calls from ordinary people defending her agreement.
Are there any changes that May could make to this agreement that could satisfy some of the hardliners on her side? I mean, she came up to Parliament yesterday morning. We all saw it and pretty much said, take it, leave it, or no Brexit at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think her room for changing things substantially in the negotiations with Brussels is very limited. What she could do is she could offer conservative parliamentarians a free vote. So instead of what they call a whipped vote, where all of the party are expected to vote with the government, she could say, look, vote your conscience on this. She's refused to do that up to now. She could try to make other concessions within the parliamentary process, whereby she allows an amendment to the motion to approve the agreement and says, look, I'll give you a vote on the treaty for the future relationship with Europe. So remember, the future trade relationship with Europe is still not negotiated. That happens after Brexit. She could try to sweeten the pill by giving Parliament some kind of say in that stage of things. I'm not sure any of that is going to be enough for the hardline Brexiters. In fact, let me amend that. I'm quite sure none of that will be enough for the hardline Brexiters. But there, you know, there are a lot of conservatives and, you know, Remainers, Leavers that are on the fence, not sure what to do here. And she might try to bring some of them over to her side and cobble together a coalition that way.
Only about 30 seconds left. What are you going to be watching for as we head into the weekend? I mean, could things change even today?
I think it's going to be stable today now that there are presumably no more resignations. We have a European summit next week. So I think the next thing to watch for is whether there's a no confidence vote. If there's no confidence vote, I think we go to the summit.
Therese Raphael, Bloomberg opinion columnist, joining us with the very latest on Brexit. Plenty to watch as we head into the weekend following this volatile week. And checking pound against the dollar right now, there is strengthening in the session. Pound is buying you $1.2810. Futures contracts pointing to a lower open on Wall Street, led by NASDAQ futures down now 1.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a program note to tune into our new weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We set you up for the coming week on Wall Street tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower this morning, led by technology shares. As we close out the trading week, shares of NVIDIA are down 16%. The biggest maker of chips for computer graphics cards gave a weak sales forecast.
Meanwhile, the pound is stronger this morning after yesterday's 1.7% slump. Theresa May is defying demands to quit her post as prime minister as opposition to her Brexit deal mounts. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Horden reports from Westminster.
She's waking up this morning with some massive hurdles ahead of her. First one, will she face a no-confidence vote? The pro-Brexit hardliners have really mobilized. Their informal leader, Jacob Rees-Mogg, submitted his letter of no confidence. Now the question is how many will follow in his footsteps. The key number there is 48. Seems like they could probably get the numbers to mount a challenge, but less so clear if they have the numbers to get rid of her. The next big hurdle is whether there's any chance at all for this deal to get through Parliament.
And checking sterling now, it's trading at $1.2807.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says the U.S. still plans to raise tariffs on Chinese imports in January. Ross says, at best, President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping will agree only to a framework for further talks on trade when they meet this month.
Shares of PG&E are surging 36% in early trading. The head of California's Public Utilities Commission said he's unlikely to let the utility go into bankruptcy. PG&E shares had plummeted more than 60% since the deadly California wildfire.
Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and Deutsche Bank are being pulled into one of the biggest money laundering investigations in history. Sources tell Bloomberg investigators contacted Deutsche Bank and B of A about transactions related to a Danske Bank branch in Estonia. The Justice Department has also asked questions about J.P. Morgan's work with the branch, which is the focus of multiple international investigations.
It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell below 20 yesterday to close at 1998. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 20.68. That is this morning's Volatility report.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 16 points. Dow futures down 122. NASDAQ futures down 90. The DAX in Germany is little changed right now. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%, up 87 cents to $57.34 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $12.16.50 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by the Israel Philharmonic with conductor Zubin Mehta and violinist Itzhak Perlman at Carnegie Hall for one performance only Sunday, February 3rd. For tickets, visit carnegiehall.org. Good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. The East Coast is digging out of an early taste of winter. The New York City area got several inches of snow that seemed to catch a lot of commuters by surprise.
We all knew to wear boots and umbrellas, so we knew what was going to happen. So I'm just really curious why New Jersey Transit can't seem to get it together.
At the heart of evening rush, the Port Authority bus terminal was a wall of commuters looking up at the schedule board. A spokesman for the mayor says the early storm meant MTA did not have snow chains for its buses. New York's MTA is facing a looming budget crisis. According to the New York Times, MTA officials say the budget pinch may lead to major fare increases or cuts to subway and bus service. At least 63 people are now dead from a Northern California wildfire, and officials say they have a missing persons list with 631 names on it in an ever-evolving accounting of the missing after the nation's deadliest wildfire in a century. Meanwhile, hundreds of fire refugees are living in makeshift shelters. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
I want you to understand that there are a lot of people displaced, and we're finding that a lot of people don't know that we're looking for them.
The Florida Secretary of State has set a hand recount of the U.S. Senate race. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The machine recount narrowly expanded Republican Rick Scott's lead over Democrat Bill Nelson, so it's on to the hand count. This is the race that the president had said should be ended, and in some of the drama with a judge ruling that all machine votes would have to meet the deadline. So seemingly not included in the other recount, then, is the governor's race, where the machine recount confirmed that Republican Ron DeSantis had defeated Andrew Gillum. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Justice Department inadvertently named Julian Assange in a court filing in an unrelated case suggesting prosecutors have prepared charges against the WikiLeaks founder under seal. Assange's name appears twice in an August court filing from a federal prosecutor in Virginia who was attempting to keep sealed a separate case involving a man accused of coercing a minor for sex. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Islanders outlasted the Rangers 7-5 at Barclays Center thanks to a hat trick from Anthony Beauvillier, his second, third, and fourth goals of the year. Thomas Greiss outstanding in the pipes, 36 saves for the Isles, who were 2 points ahead of the Rangers in the Metro. Islanders weren't the only local team with the milestone reached.
Taken here by Coleman. Ceney works it across. Anderson scores! Joey Anderson with his first National Hockey League goal! And it comes 3:45 into the game. The Devils have the lead.
Devils TV, Anderson just 19 years young, electrifying the Devils fans who made the trip to Philadelphia. 3-0 Devils. Keith Kincaid did his part, 29 saves for New Jersey. Thursday Night Football from Seattle, two of the game's best quarterbacks once again on display. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 27-24. The running game, a big reason why, especially rookie Rashad Penny.
I can't do it without, you know, all the other running backs. Them guys are the most encouraging guys. They always have a positive uplift on me. They just tell me every day, you know, use your speed, you know, use your strength. You can do all this. You can do all that.
Penny with the longest run of the game, 30 yards, that helped secure a scoring drive. Packers below 500. College basketball turned back the clock to the golden age of the Big East. UConn buried 12 money balls to beat 15th-ranked Syracuse 83-76, handing the Orange their first loss of the season. Baseball, Boston's Mookie Betts, the AL MVP. Milwaukee's Christian Yelich wins his first, taking the National League MVP. And that is your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May says that Britain's choice now is her new plan to leave the EU or leave with no deal or no Brexit at all. Put that way, the right choice is more obvious than she perhaps intended. No Brexit at all. Support for Brexit in the referendum of 2016 was narrow. For months, emerging details about what quitting the EU would mean have been changing minds. May and her cabinet have kept going regardless. This sleepwalking to disaster needs to end. If Parliament rejects May's plan, as it should, and as it seems likely to, May or her successor ought to declare Brexit a failure and call a second referendum. The Prime Minister's universally disliked plan is not the only way to avoid a chaotic Brexit. As May herself said, there's another option. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Looks like more people are signing up for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Nancy Lyons has more on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
One Wall Street analyst predicts about 11 to 12 million people who receive Obamacare subsidies will sign up for 2019. If that happens, it would be a slight uptick. Bloomberg Law's Sarah Hansard says there's one possible reason.
The premiums have abated this year. The actual benchmark premium, which is the premium on which the subsidies are based, on average is down just a little bit, like 1.5%.
And 23 new insurers are coming into the market, giving consumers more choice. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It's not your imagination. Hurricanes are getting wetter. Two studies just published in the journal Nature suggest humans help make recent devastating U.S. hurricanes wetter, but in different ways. One study found that Hurricane Harvey snagged on the skyscrapers of Houston, causing it to slow and dump more rain than it normally would. And the city's massive amounts of paving had an even bigger impact by reducing drainage. The study figures land development in the metro area, on average, increased the chances of extreme flooding by 21 times. A second study looked at last year's major hurricanes Maria and Irma and 2005's deadly Katrina and used computer simulations to see what would have happened if there had been no human-caused global warming. Climate change significantly increased rainfall from those three storms. Global warming increased rainfall 8.9% from Hurricane Maria, 6.3% from Irma, and 8.7% from Katrina. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. Sterling showing green against the dollar this morning. A pound buys $1.2813. Futures contracts in the red. S&P futures down 15 points or 0.5%. Dow futures down 116 points or 0.4%. NASDAQ futures down 1.2%, a drop of 87 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure, helped by a plunge in chipmaker NVIDIA. Dow futures down 90 points, S&P's dropped 13, and NASDAQ futures declined by 79. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.11%. Oil is trading higher, and Shanghai jumped 0.4% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:15, industrial production, and at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, NVIDIA missed estimates. Shares are down 18% in the pre-market. Applied Materials gave a weak forecast. And utility PG&E is soaring by 36% in the pre-market after a regulator eased bankruptcy risk concerns. In deal news, General Electric sold its healthcare device finance portfolio for $1.5 billion. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Viacom to report around 8 a.m. Wrapping things up, Dillard's was downgraded at Bank of America, Qualcomm upgraded to Equate at Morgan Stanley, and Michael Kors downgraded to Market Perform over at Oppenheimer. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg Times, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been charged by federal prosecutors in Virginia in a move that suggests the U.S. government is determined to pursue his extradition. The indictment was revealed inadvertently in a filing in a case not connected to the 47-year-old. At least 63 people are now dead from a Northern California wildfire. Officials say they have a missing persons list with 631 names on it. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey says the high number of missing probably includes some who fled the blaze and did not realize that they have been reported missing. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 7-5. The Devils also won. NBA action, the Warriors lost. Thursday night football, the Seahawks beat the Packers 27-24. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Now, in Northern California, that massive camp wildfire has left not only a deadly, devastating wake, it is wreaking havoc on the more than 50,000 people who have been displaced by the flames. It's also leading to severe problems with air quality well away from the fire zone. Here with more on that, Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett. He joins us live from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco. And Greg, I know you're used to visibility problems by the bay, but not like this. The air now deemed very unhealthy with the level of particulates. What does that feel like?
A constant scratching of the throat, Nathan. Your eyes burn. Your face itches. You have trouble catching your breath. I think what a lot of people don't understand, in addition to all the other toxic stuff that has burned in this fire, most of the ground cover in that area is poison oak. And if you can imagine taking a wad of poisoned oak and throwing it in your fireplace and sitting in front of it during the wintertime, all of that blowing into your face, it's making life very difficult and dangerous here as well, Nathan.
Yeah, and it's well away from where the fire is. I mean, we've all heard about the town of Paradise. That's many miles away from San Francisco. And I got to imagine a broad swath of people in Northern California are at risk from this.
Yeah, it's 180 miles by road, 150 by air. And I'm looking at the map right now of the area that's in danger. Right here in San Francisco, it's very unhealthy. It's purple on the map. That means people with heart or lung disease, older adults and children should avoid all physical activity outdoors. Everyone else should avoid prolonged or heavy exertion. It's very dangerous, Nathan.
Yeah, and when you're talking about a part of California that sees a lot of tourists, particularly this time of year, I mean, that can't be good for the industry.
35,000 people or 3,500 people every day visit Alcatraz, Nathan. That has been shut down. The cable cars, can you imagine coming to San Francisco and not getting a cable car ride? 20,000 people a day ride the cable cars. They're shut down. Schools are shut down. And this is crab season. It just opened yesterday. A lot of people come into town to go to Fisherman's Wharf to pick up their crabs as they reach the docks. Crabs are a big deal for holiday here. That's closed down. People are wearing masks. And in the stores, they've run out of the N95 particulate mask that's the one suggested to wear.
Yeah, I've seen some of the pictures of people wearing masks. Tough to imagine, you know, with so much of the focus on the wildfires and with the air quality as well. Thank you for that update. Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett joining us from our 960 newsroom in San Francisco. Now let's check what's going on in D.C., some of the top stories in our nation's capital, thousands of miles away from San Francisco, include a ruling expected later this morning on CNN's lawsuit against the White House. You'll recall a correspondent, Jim Acosta, had his press credentials revoked. Judge is expected to weigh in on that in just a few hours. Vice President Mike Pence is now in Australia ahead of the APEC summit in Papua New Guinea. And President Trump presents the Medal of Freedom to seven Americans this afternoon, including retiring Senator Orrin Hatch, GOP donor Miriam Adelson, and Elvis Presley. Also making news this morning, the tough fight Nancy Pelosi could be in for as she tries to make a comeback as Speaker of the House. Speaking of all shook up, Bloomberg's chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins me. Is Pelosi due for a shakeup when it comes to her leadership position, Kevin?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because I think there are some Democrats, as we talked about the other day, who really would like to see that happen, Nathan. But, you know, right now, I still think she would have the votes if this were held today. But, you know, as anticipated with these types of leadership races, it gets more and more contentious. I mean, some names that we're watching, Hakeem Jeffries, you've got Adam Schiff, of course, he's the fiery Democrat who has served on the House since 2001.
Yeah.
Very, very visible in the investigations. Karen Bass, Elijah Cummings is someone people talk about, and Diana DeJet, you know, some names that we hear from, and Sherry Bustos as well. So there's a couple of names, I think, that really have emerged as an alternative. But Nancy Pelosi is someone who really has the fundraising clout, has the deep ties within the Democratic Party, not just to the establishment, but also to the groups in terms of the base of the party. And I spoke with Congresswoman Hsu yesterday. She, of course, is from the Silicon Valley district. And what she had said to me was, you know, why not Nancy Pelosi? And that these folks who have been reelected are forgetting about one of the main forces that got them there.
Yeah, and when you talk about you know, the Democrats, the new majority in the House pursuing an agenda, you got to wonder how President Trump is feeling about this. We talked about that contentious news conference with Jim Acosta. During that news conference, he talked about Speaker Pelosi said she deserves to be in this position.
Yes.
But where does the president stand on this, do you think?
Well, that's who Republicans want, and this is what's interesting is if you think back to previous cycles in terms terms of leadership races, particularly with Republicans. Remember when Paul Ryan was elected. Remember Speaker Boehner. When Republicans made deals with Democrats for them not to show up on the floor vote, that lowers the threshold of the number of votes needed for a leadership race, which was able to avert some of the showdown within the Republican Party with the Freedom Caucus. In other words, this is a deal that's being made. And so you're seeing leverage being used on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And right now you have a situation where Republicans are saying that they would prefer to deal with Nancy Pelosi.
Let's move on to the other big story in Washington, the story that always seems to loom around this town, the Mueller investigation. We'd been expecting some movement today, but now the Mueller team is asking for more time when it comes to an update on Paul Manafort's cooperation in the probe. What does that tell you?
That they're not done. And you know, I feel like we all in this town are just holding our breath for this Mueller investigation. But truly, until they release it, we don't know. The only thing we knew for sure was that they wanted to wait until after the midterms. It is after the midterms. Now, of course, everyone's saying, are they going to do it by the end of the year? No one in Washington knows for certain. The only people who know are the only person who knows is Bob Mueller.
And we'd seen some reports this week from the Wall Street Journal that there might be developments when it comes to Roger Stone, the longtime Trump advisor, and his contacts with WikiLeaks. Where does that stand at this point?
I think we've heard that for months. I mean, and I can tell you that in terms of, in talking to sources close to Roger Stone, again, I think everything, for lack of a better term, is truly pure speculation. The only person who knows really is Bob Mueller. And, you know, I hate to say that because it's such an important story, but we truly just don't know. And I think everything else is speculation.
Mm-hmm. So to keep it in line with the possibility of more speculation in our last minute here, are you expecting any Friday news dumps today?
Well, you know, who knows? I mean, last Friday, I think there was some buzz. I mean, and we saw this get pick up on social media. There's anticipation. You know, I think the whole town, you know, Nathan better. I mean, we're all under indictment watch.
Yeah, really.
But look, I think that other stories that I have my eye on is, again, that evolving Saudi story. Mm. Are Republicans going to continue to increase rhetoric against the Saudi regime? And also these leadership races, does this pose significant threat to the Democratic establishment and Nancy Pelosi's political orbit? Carefully watching that as well.
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thanks as always for keeping us on top of it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures are lower, down 14 points. Dow futures down 101 and NASDAQ futures down 81. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.11%. NYMEX crude oil jumping up 1.4% or 78 cents to $57.24 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.17.10 an ounce. The British pound at $1.28.19. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.